to fulfill it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we know in Christmas, people make lists. People put lists. Some people like lists. Some people don't like lists. Some people get burdened by lists, you know. And sometimes Christmas can be stressful for some people, a little bit hectic or anxious. So let's dive right into that whole scenario and talk about what list matters. What gift list matters? We ready to learn today? All right. In our opening scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:15, in the Amplified Classic, it says, "Now thanks be to God for his gift, precious, beyond telling, his indescribable, inexpressible free gift." Praise the Lord. So when we talk about gifts, we got to first talk about God. He's the first one who gave. And he's a God who always gives. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, trumpets grace. Christians have been given by the divine grace giver. He's sounding out loud, "Thanks be to God for his gift." This gift is precious, or in other words, priceless. So valuable, we can't put a price tag on it. Beyond telling, it's his indescribable and inexpressible gift. So he's talking about God the Father sowed his own son. We say Jesus is the reason for the season. So he sent, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him, the Son, shall not perish but have everlasting life. So he's the indescribable gift into humanity. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect, free, large, and full." I like those descriptions, right? Free, large, full gift is from above. Where's it coming from? God. It comes down from the Father of all, that gives light in the shining of whom there can be no variation, rising or setting or shadow cast by his turning as in an eclipse. That means he's not about to change who he is. So every good gift is coming down, but it keeps on coming down from above. So your mindset means that God is not finished giving. God's a giver. God's a giver. Free, full, large. Hallelujah. Somebody, and it keeps on coming down. He's not stopping who he is, because he says there's no shadow of changing or turning. That means you can't even find a shadow where God changed his position as a free, large, and full giver. The psalmist says that God daily loads us with his benefits. That means he's cramming everything. Before you and I woke up this morning, he's crammed everything that we need, more than enough for that day's benefits, for that day's supply, for that day's needs. God's been stuffing stuff like in a stocking. It's flowing out of the stocking. It's flowing out of the box, so to speak. Praise God. God is a giver. Amen. So these two verses, this verse uses two words for gift in James 1:17. The first word emphasizes the act of giving. Every action of God's giving is good. And you would think that Christians, if they got that, they would never miss church. Because they said, God's going to give me good. Now, some of the religious folks back in the day, back in the old days, in the 80s, I'm talking about the 80s, they're 30 years ago, I guess, 34 years ago, they would say, something good is going to happen to you. Happen to you this very day. Something good is going to happen to you. Jesus of Nazareth is passing or coming your way. Praise God. Amen. So that means that's an act of good. So everything good, when God comes around, something good's going to happen. Something good's going to be given. Praise the Lord. The second emphasis is the word, the benefit of giving. So every result of God's giving is good. Every action of God's giving is good. Every result of God's giving is good. So that means God's not going to give you something that's not good for you. Now, how many people get it twisted out there in the world and think God did this? Tsunamis, hurricanes, floods. Unfortunately, some insurance contracts even say the acts of God. Did God tear up your house? Did God blow away your car? That's not God. God is a good God. Come on, somebody say, God is a good God. God is a good God. Yes, he is. Amen. So what kind of giver is God, our Father? Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, that means natural parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those that ask him? Now, you just got to look back at the three grandsons we have. They have lists. They've had birthdays. I guarantee you nothing that they got was bad. So as natural parents and as grandparents, over the years, they've gotten good stuff. They've gotten so much good stuff that sometimes there's a statement that says, hey, don't bring any more of this because they got so much of this. Somebody say hallelujah. Can anybody witness to that? Man, you look at birthday parties and stuff like that, the kids get blessed, right? Well, if natural parents know how to bless their children with good things, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things? How many things? Good things to those who ask him. Have you asked God for good things? Good things for next year? So our Father God, first of all, is a good giver. He's a do-gooder. Amen. A give-gooder. And Romans 8:31-32. What shall we say to these things? Talking about negative things that come against you, circumstantial things that come against you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give? Freely give us what? All things. Everybody say all things. So God, our Father, is a free giver. He's a good giver. He's a free giver. That's why it says, every free, every large, every full gift. That's a good description. Amen? So everybody say, Father God is a good giver, and he's a free giver. Now, how many of y'all like free stuff? Free means you're not charged for it. You don't get a bill after you've gotten it. I've never known CPS to tell me the bill is free. They charge you for using that electricity and that gas. Can somebody agree with that? I never saw Saul say that you get some free water and free. We pick up your trash for free. We get your recycling picked up for free. Every month they send me a bill, and I get it electronic because it comes on my phone. There it goes again, like clockwork. Every month, the water's not free. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah.
Come on, let's thank the Lord that he's a good giver and a free giver. What else? to God.
Well, we see here, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given him. So not only is God a good giver, and not only God is a free giver, but he's also a generous giver. That means if I ask for wisdom and I made, you know, as Don was alluding to 1 John 1:9 in her offering teaching, if you made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake, and you find yourself, I keep messing up, or I keep making mistakes, or I keep having to repent of this, I can confess this sin, and you might finally settle down maybe after the 10th time and say, God, I need wisdom because I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to decide the right thing to do. I make a bad decision when it comes to relationships or money or financial decisions or maybe stuff that I shouldn't be putting in my body. I need what? Wisdom. And God, he says, when you ask for wisdom, he's not going to reproach you or judge you or say, you made 10 dumb decisions before. No, you can't have wisdom. He says, what? He gives to who? All, indiscriminate, non-prejudicial, non-biased. I give to all liberally and without judging them or condemning them. And it, wisdom, will be given to him or her. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So God's a generous giver. In other words, what does that mean, brothers and sisters? That means he's going to give you more than what you need. He's going to give you an abundant supply of skillful and godly wisdom. So you just thank him. Say, Lord, I thank you. I don't know what to do here. I lack wisdom. So I'm asking you, Father God, for an abundant supply of skillful and godly wisdom, according to James 1:5. Because I lack wisdom, and if you said, if I lack it, which I do right now, I lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And you said in your word, Lord, that you will give to all men, including me, or women, including you, hallelujah, liberally or generously and without reproach, and it will be given. So I believe and that I receive an abundant supply of skillful and godly wisdom for today. Wisdom for my finances, wisdom for my affairs, my business affairs, and wisdom for the circumstance I'm facing right now. In Jesus' name. Now, that's something everybody should be asking for every day. Don't go down or go around a day by being foolish, which is also synonymous with being unwise. Ask for wisdom. God gives it to us liberally, generously. And then fourthly, we see here in 2 Timothy 6:17, it says, command those who are rich. That should be 1 Timothy. I'm sorry. I put two in front of there. That should be 1 Timothy. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or prideful or high-minded, nor to trust in uncertain riches. Don't get all excited just because your bank balance got big. Don't get all excited and prideful and haughty because your savings account went over several thousand dollars. Amen. See, that those are people who are rich. They have more than what they need in their account, and they have more than what they need in their savings and their reserves. How much of y'all agree that's rich? That means you're abundant, have an abundant supply or full provision of savings, reserves, and your current accounts. But he tells us, he charges us, don't get haughty, don't get cocky, don't get arrogant, don't get prideful, and don't trust in the fact that I've got a buffer, I've got a cushion, I've got margin in my money. So don't let money transfer your heart's trust from God to it. Oh, this is good teaching this morning. Praise God. Don't let it transfer, because money has a tendency to have a gravitational pull on your heart. That's just like what Don said so beautifully in the offering teaching, was that you got to get things in order. Tithes and offerings help unhook your heart from its dependency on my bank balance is big. I got enough money. And then our eyes get beady and big and our hands start burning because we want to spend it. But he said, command those. So everybody say, I've just been commanded. Those who are rich. That means some people in church should be rich. Rich in this present age. Does that mean you have billions of dollars? Could be. But it could be that you have a surplus in your checking and in your savings and in your emergency funds and in your investments. Could somebody say hallelujah? So you got to say, so I take the command. I take the charge not to be prideful because I got money. I got a little extra money. No. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the who? Who do we keep our trust in? Everybody say the living God. Come on, y'all. The living God. Everybody say the living God. Who does he, what does he do? He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Richly all things to enjoy. I like what a minister said one time. He said the Lord was disciplining them. These are several ministers I heard, so this is not just one. It's several of them that I look up to and respect and regard highly. They never bought themselves things because they had the cash or the credit worthiness to do it. Because when you start buying everything your beady eyes look at and your burning pockets crawl for, then you can start to begin to trust in the money. Uncertain riches, right? Uncertain. That means there's the day you have it, and there's some days, you know, just like for us, you know, some days it's not there. Some days it's there in abundance. But you can't trust in those abundant years. Praise the Lord. I don't know how I'm kind of going in. This is not even my notes. Everybody good? Everybody getting something out of this so far? So he said, trust in the living God. That means you got to say, Lord, I want some of these. So unless you have the skill and the discipline, you got to stay off Amazon. You got to stay off Walmart.com and all these other online sheens and all these other places. Because if your flesh can't handle it, you don't need to be on there. Because it's going to pull your flesh in. I want that. I got to buy that. And you buy that, and then you can't pay your tithes and offerings. Don't shout without I'm preaching you're good. We got a good Christmas message coming next week, so praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. But we got to understand that God wants us to keep our trust in the living God, the God who lives, not in stuff that's dead and stuff, not be a stuffaholic. You got so much stuff, you got two closets in your house full of stuff. Why are you buying all that stuff? Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you need to liquidate some of that stuff and get more giving into the flow. Praise the Lord. Stop surfing the social media and the web looking at all that stuff. Trust God first. Trust God all the time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Gives us richly all things to enjoy. So these ministers and these people that I was telling you holding high, they go into a suit store. The Lord would tell them, believe me for one of these. And it would be those 400 back then. This is several years ago now. So $400, $600 suits were, that's a big deal. Or I want these. They get sized up for it, look at it, tailored for it, and they just trust God. They wouldn't go buy, they wouldn't buy it because they had the money or the credit or the cash. Somebody said, praise the Lord. And then, of course, going into shoe stores, and I want these. One minister said, I didn't even buy underwear or socks because I could afford it. But you're learning what? Discipline. To trust in the living God. Not trust in uncertain riches. Don't check out how much money I got on this account. Let me just move some money over. I'm stuck right here. I don't know why. Who's got me stuck right here? Amen. Trust in the living God. Trust in the living God, not in money. That's order, right? Because what was God of order in Malachi, remember, they gave the leftovers, the lame. Leftovers and lame and lazy giving is not in order. Amen. Leftovers, lame, and lazy giving is not in order. Tithes and offerings keeps you in order. It keeps your heart in order and helps your hands stay in order. So you don't overspend. And then kind of start looking funny. I can't get my tithes and offerings. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God is a rich giver. Everybody say God's a rich giver. So we don't have to be the rich giver. God can be the rich giver in our lives. So God's a good giver. God's a free giver. God's a generous giver. And God's a rich giver. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God is a giver of givers. Now let's look at the gifts list that matters. All right, so let's go to the next slide. The first gift is the gift of Jesus. Romans 8, 3:24-25, New Living Translation. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People made right with God when they believed that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. And this sacrifice shows God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. So the greatest gift you ever been given wasn't bought in a store. Keep that in perspective. No cash exchanged hands. It wasn't even wrapped. Yet it cost the giver, God, everything. Let's look at that in the Message translation. The same verse. You got it right there. Out of sheer generosity. Out of sheer what? Generosity. He put us in right standing with himself. A pure gift. He got us out of the mess we were in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did this by means of Jesus Christ. God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear the world of sin. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Having faith in him sets us in the clear. God decided on this course of action in full view of the public to set the world in the clear. Praise God. So Jesus paid a price so that we didn't have to. Now we get to decide whether we accept God's free gift. Amen? Let's look at some other gifts. Next slide. The gift of peace. Everybody say the gift of peace. The 2 Corinthians 5:18 in the Voice translation says, in all all this is a gift from our Creator God, who pursued us and brought us into a restored and healthy relationship with Him through the anointed. And He has given us the same mission, the ministry of reconciliation, to bring others back to Him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So whether you had a good year or not so good year, as we come to the year end of 2025, do you find yourself tired? Maybe you've worn out physically, mentally, and spiritually. The good news is that there is hope. God doesn't want you to go through yet another year worn out and depleted. And what is that? A year without peace. You should have peace on your list. That matters, right? So as we hear into next year, the Lord specifically wants to give you three different kinds of peace. Number one, peace with God. This is spiritual peace. It's the most important one. It affects everything else. Romans 5:1, New Living Translation says, therefore, since you have been made right with God in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. We have peace with God. Everybody say peace with God. Man, I look in people's eyes during the week and, you know, at work and stuff, and you can tell they don't have peace with God. We should have that on our lists. First, we have peace with God. We've often said this year, you got to check your joy and peace monitors. As a matter of fact, your peace monitors first and the joy. Because the Bible says that we be filled with all joy and peace, Romans 15, in believing that we, the God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, how can you tell I'm in faith, that I'm believing God to receive from God? How can I tell? I've got joy and I've got peace. And peace with God is first. Your joy and peace monitors are matter. You don't want to walk into 2026 with joy and peace dysfunctional. You want to be able to handle both handles and say, I got joy and I've got peace because I'm believing God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God doesn't want us to live disconnected from Him. Peace with God doesn't come from anything we do. Peace with God comes from what Jesus did for us on the cross. God wants you to give you that important peace this Christmas season. Second, peace within. This is emotional peace. Everybody say another big one. So it's called the peace of God. It's one of the most important commodities that you need to carry with you on a regular, on a daily. Because folks are running ragged emotionally. There's more people in therapy jobs than you can shake a stick at. Why? Because people's emotions are out of order. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Colossians 3:15, we quoted it in our last teaching there. Let the God of peace comes from Christ rule in your heart. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. Who's ruling? What's ruling your heart? Should be and could be, if it's not, the peace of God. The peace that comes from Christ. Because Jesus said, my peace I leave to you, I give to you, I bequeath it to you. Not the world's peace, my very own peace. Why? So that your heart doesn't have to be troubled. Now, he's talking heart, but he's also including soul. He's talking about the inner man. Both your spirit and your soul don't have to be troubled. The peace of God, it says in Philippians 4:7, the peace of God garrisons about and guards and protects your heart, your spirit, and your mind. You got to have emotional peace. The peace of God, to which you are called, for as members of one body, we are called to live in peace and always be thankful. God wants his peace in our hearts and in our lives. God provides peace for every problem that we face. So if you're acting panicky or paranoid, I even wrote the email yesterday. You might have heard, saw that. Don't panic. Nobody in the church should be in panic when problems come up. Nobody should be paranoid because, you know, our elected officials are arguing over health care. What are you going to do with my health care costs? Is it going to go up? Is my health insurance going to double? My payment's going to double, triple? No. You got to keep peace. You got to hold on to peace. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Don't talk yourself or don't talk your others out of peace. Emotional peace. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for the peace of God. Now, the peace with others. This is relational peace. Everybody say another big one. See, when you got strife and struggles going on with other people, and it gets heightened around the holidays, right? Because people don't want to talk to you. People don't want to be dealing with you about gifts. They don't want to communicate to you about nothing because there's struggle. There's a strain in the relationship. Y'all there, y'all gone home already. You need relational peace. You need to walk in how many ever Christmas gatherings or parties you have and say, hey, and you love everybody. You have nothing against anybody. Even though they run your name through the mud or they run you down ragged, you got relational peace. Before you walk in there, Lord, I love them. You love them. I forgive them. I let it drop. I let it go. I give up the resentment. I leave it alone. I don't recall it. Even if they bring it up and say, I don't really know what you're talking about because I've forgiven that. And I've forgotten about that. Every one of us should have the greatest time of peaceful, harmony, synergistic relationships with their loved ones, with your friends, with your family. Relational peace. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:16, New Living together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups of God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. There's just no enemy. Everybody say, I have no enemies. Enmity or enmities, hostility against somebody. That means hostility or your raid as an enemy toward them. Amen. The only way to have lasting peace with others is to be united as children, sons and daughters of God in Christ. Peace is not an unattainable dream. It is a free gift from God. Is it on your list? The gift of light. John 18:12. Jesus spoke to the people, and once more he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Now, vegetable gardeners, I'm not one, but I work with one, a couple of them, and they actually do their own, they grow their own stuff. I know we have a daughter and a friend. They build a They have a little ranch or build gardens and stuff like that. And so they can tell you that the more hours of light you have, the bigger crops you will grow. Light is the key to life. Every plant grows by photosynthesis. Everybody remember that word in science or biology? Photosynthesis, which is dependent upon light. Humans depend on light to see and for our bodies and our minds and our world to function normally. No light, no power. No light, no growth. You can't live without light. You can't always live in the dark and in the darkness. That's not healthy. what's true of light in the physical realm is also true in the spiritual realm. On your dark days, when the sun is hidden, you can't see the light. You need the light of Jesus to change you for the better. So I need to be able to see through those dark days, those dark moments, those dark, depressing or oppressing days that come upon me and make me feel like nobody loves me, nobody cares about me. I'm in here. I'm struggling. We need the gift of light. Amen. All right, let's go to the next one. There's some more. We got more. Almost done here. The gift of extravagant love. The gift of extravagant love. Just put it on silent. Please. Hallelujah. Psalms 42:8. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. Now I want you to just pause and think about that for a moment. Each day the Lord pours his extravagant love upon me. Are you missing the pouring out? Now, see, sometimes our devotions can be so mechanical and methodical that we miss the ministry that the Lord wants to give to us. Each day, the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. Come on, just let that soak in. Marinating that a little bit. Marinating. And through each night, I will sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. Now, we ordered, actually, Pastor Cynthia picked it out, but I ordered it, and we got it through a new shower head. We got it. We like it. It's supposed to be a water-saving shower head. But it pours out. I mean, it's like a little flat, square thing. And, man, you get on that thing, you feel like, man, this thing is, it's got some force to it. It's got a lot of little tiny little nodules. And the water just comes out, and man, you feel like, man, I'm in a massage room in this shower. It's good. And then it's got a little handle thing, so if you want to take the wand and switch it over, and you can wand and get to certain spots. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So you got that, you put that back in the thing. But it's a nice little thing. And so sometimes we think, like when we travel, we go to different places and the water pressure is real low, and particularly in the sink. Man, I can't hardly shave with this kind of water. Because what do they do in those hotels typically? It's water saving. So they don't want the water just pouring out on you like, man, you're just running that water bill up. And some people think God's that way. He's stingy. But God's not stingy with his love. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He doesn't dribble. Right? He doesn't dribble out. He showers and pours it extravagantly upon all people. So like the one we got at home, when I step in there, you step in that thing, and that thing looks like, man, this is like a whirlwind rainstorm coming. But it feels good, but I start thinking, this is how God pours out on me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody said, glory to God. One way he showers his with his love is he's paying attention to us, our every detail. Love is attention. The Bible says in Job 23:10, the first part in the Good News translation, yet God knows every step I take. Father God, you know everything I'm going to deal with today. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God's concerned about our every step, and he pays attention to them. God is never too busy for you. He could never forget you. Look at Isaiah 49, 15, and 16. It says, New Living Translation, never can a mother forget her nursing child. What's the answer, church? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? What's the answer? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written you your name on the palms of my hand. That means God got you written on his left hand and his right hand. Because it says hands, right? If you look at the scripture, always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruins. So you may feel forgotten, but God has never stopped paying attention to you. Now, let me say this pastorally. Never say nobody loves me, because you're lying. Never say nobody cares about me. I know the devil will push up on you and try to put that in your thinking. Nobody's considering me. Nobody's paying attention to me. Is that true? Not according to this scripture. God says, I got you written in my palms of my hand, both. So if he's opening his hand this way, he's seeing your name. If he's opening his hands this way, he's seeing your name. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, the gift of a second chance. Look at this, Isaiah 54, 7. Good news. With deep love will I take you back. This Christmas season, do you need a little restoration in your life? Are you feeling a little dried up? Do you need some renewal? Come back to God. Now, allow me to say this with all love and humility. If you're struggling reading your Bible, come back to God. If you're struggling with your prayer life, come back to God. If you're struggling in your faith walk or your honor walk or your love walk, come back to God. Amen. Do it before the end of the year. God isn't mad at you. God is mad about you. Christmas should be proof to all of us that God love is for you. Amen. The gift of a choice. John 1:29, English Standard Version. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, redemption is when somebody else pays for your sins so that you can be forgiven and walk away justified. They do your time. You did the crime, but they do your time. That's what Jesus did for you. He didn't just come to the earth at Christmas. He came to the earth to die for all of us. And when Pilate said, I found no fault in this man, he took a basin of water and washed his hands. He said, who do you want? This man Jesus or Barabbas? And they said, give us Barabbas. Away with him. Crucify him. So Pilate even gave the people a choice to decide what they were going to do with Jesus. And this is a moment now where we must decide, what are we going to do with Jesus? The last gift is the gift of yourself. Romans Revelations 2:20, New American Standard Bible. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and I will dine with him and he with me. What are you going to do with Jesus this Christmas? You going to put him on the back burner, or is he going to have the front and center stage of your heart? Praise the Lord. Now stand to your feet. And let's lift our hands and thank the Lord. And let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. And I thank you that you give me the words to give to these, your precious people. Thank you, Lord, that you're helping every one of us have a good